It's no secret that these days a lot of people are depressed, as constantly talked about. But a side effect of depression, and something that's sometimes somewhat separate to it, is another phenomenon. Now, some of you might have heard of the hedonic treadmill, right? It's basically the notion that every time you discover something of interest that gives you pleasure and enjoyment, after a certain period of time has elapsed, you will cease to feel that, and you need some sort of new stimulus. It's also referred to as the dopamine hit treadmill in some circles, and it's a pretty well-known phenomenon, and it's part of our neurophysiology as human beings. You discover something, it's really interesting, but eventually the dopamine hit isn't big enough, and so you just go on to the next thing. And you'll see this everywhere. It's shot through in every domain of human existence. In fact, if you look at so-called prawn addiction as one example, you see that there too, that the consumers of prawn in these instances are so addicted to prawn and so obsessed with prawn that they require ever greater doses of it and ever greater and funkier and wackier things to receive stimulus so they still feel good about it, so they can stay hard and blow their load. And people talk about this all the time. What they don't talk about, though, is the converse, the opposite side of the coin, which is anhedonia. Now, I say this with my own self-diagnosis, mind you. I've never officially been diagnosed as anhedonic, as someone with a pretty strong degree of anhedonia for years, maybe even decades. Now, I think it's important to talk about this because right now in this current year and going forward, as the future is rushing towards us, as it always does, it's going to be a phenomenon that you're going to encounter again and again and again and ever more frequently. And so it's important to talk about this. Now, when it comes to anhedonia, the basic description some people give is the inability to feel pleasure or enjoyment in things that you used to feel pleasure and enjoyment in. That's part of it, but I think anhedonia more broadly means just the inability to feel enjoyment or pleasure in pretty much anything, or most things, and it is sometimes seen as the converse of the hedonic, the anhedonic, hence the anhedonic treadmill, hence the title of the video. I think part of it, in many cases, just comes from age. The kind of been there, done that feeling that you've seen certain things come to pass before, you've seen certain patterns, and these patterns don't hold the same degree of interest or fascination for you. That's a pretty normal thing. It occurs across the board. And you can compare it, for example, between, I don't know, being a 16-year-old in love and thinking that it's the most important thing in existence that you, I don't know, meet up with your GF at 11 o'clock at night defying your parents' orders so you can fornicate with her or something like that, right? Whereas in your 40s or 50s, you kind of look at yourself back then, if that were the case, had you in fact done such a thing, as a bit silly. Because it turns out that on that night that you met up with her at 11 p.m. to fornicate with her, the next day was a super important examination which you flunked, which led to you not getting to an important university that you wanted to go to, et cetera, that sort of thing, right? You get caught up in the hedonic treadmill very easily when you're young, I think in large measure because your life is simply bereft of a lot of experiences that you have not yet felt and not yet encountered. And so, of course, everything is really interesting. I always make the joke, of course, that a 3-year-old finds a banana peel on the sidewalk with a bunch of ants on it fascinating, right? But at some point in time, having encountered enough banana peels with enough ants crawling about the banana peels, and then maybe some rotten apples and peaches or whatever, the phenomenon of rotten fruit with ants on it, or maybe even flies or whatever, becomes less interesting. And so, cumulatively, as you amass experiences, you become somewhat less impacted by them. Not entirely, but it's just not as impressive. Now, this sort of acclimatization to basic daily phenomena or things you've experienced in the past as a young person, I think, is the rule rather than the exception. Everyone goes through it to varying degrees. It's like I said, look at those whippersnappers who think that the most important thing in existence is getting the rocks off with some chick in class at age 15 or 16 or 17 or 18 or whatever, right? But it becomes a lot more extreme than that. There's another version of anhedonia that I continually and ever increasingly observe in young people that doesn't just correlate to, yeah, you're getting older, you've been there, you've seen that, blah, 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 but rather it correlates to, surprise, surprise, the internet. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, gentlemen, as most of you know, the internet is a place of great wonder. There are many wonders on offer in the internet. There are so many things you can see. It's a never-ending smorgasbord of delights, of pleasures, of things you can learn, discover, a prawn you can wang to. All these amazing things, right? But it also is a place of increasingly, actually not even increasingly, completely at this stage, absolute and total repetition. Because the problem I'm observing here, and something that I encounter and feel in my daily life, is that we've reached an oversaturation point in terms of what we've come to expect and what we see on a daily basis when it comes to our online consumption. Because all of us consume something. If we're here online, I mean, I'm sort of a YouTuber, right? So I'm online a fair bit. But even if you're not making YouTube videos, then you are going to see other things. You're going to see, oh, look at that trailer for that game or that film. Oh, that guy's making a video about how you grow the best tomatoes in your garden. Oh, I have a herniated disc, and this video shows me how to deal with that properly, etc., etc. There's always something on offer that can potentially entertain you, and who knows, maybe even help you in the best case scenario. And it's all online, and it's especially concentrated on YouTube. And on top of that, you have very powerful algorithms that are working to present things to you that you internally, maybe even subconsciously, find interesting. And to varying degrees, you don't find interesting. You just see things, they briefly pique your interest, and you click on it. And so even if you weren't interested in something, you might see something that looks morbidly curious, and it awakens your curiosity, so you click on it, and then the algorithm gets reset, and then you're seeing those things, right? The problem here, at least in my humble opinion, is that the been there, done that feeling that is naturally accumulated over a lifetime, that gets stronger and stronger with age and corresponds basically to the number of experiences you've had, the number of things you've seen, that's being accelerated. The algorithms, the seeing of everything possible in the world, the possibility to see everything you might want to imagine, or even more importantly, not might want to imagine, it's all there. I'm not going to talk about this out loud here, but there are horrific videos online that you can get of things you do not want to see. I've had people tell me about them. I've had people, against my will to be honest, show me these things. I didn't want to see them. But basically, everything's on offer online. And so what happens? There's a numbing process. You become benumbed to everything. Because already at age 23, theoretically, you've been there or you've done that. Or at least you're convincing yourself that you've been there or done that. In fact, it's much more likely that you've seen that online. But you haven't actually been there. You haven't actually experienced it. But with all this input and all the screens and constantly being bombarded with new information, especially on YouTube, but also on TikTok, Instagram, all the usual suspects, basically. What do you expect to happen? Everything becomes familiar, and you become jaded. The same applies to films and the gaming world. Now, I'll be the first person to say that no one can reinvent the wheel, which is to say, you're not going to create new media, new stories that have nothing to do with previous ones. Human beings are, at the end of the day, a bunch of dumb apes hurtling about on a mud rock, doomed to fail, ultimately. So we're not that smart. We're not going to come up with new, refreshing things that completely defy the past models and stories and patterns that we've used to tell and write tales to entertain people. And the same is true of games, right? If you game a fair bit, like I do, I know many of you do, not everyone, you'll see patterns repeat themselves. I think when it comes to that, it's probably more important to take a trope that's been overdone and do it really well and better than previously has been done before. That's probably your best option. But everything has become super formulaic. I know, for example, if I'm hovering over a YouTube video in the sidebar and I just see the title and I can see who made it, I know exactly what I can expect from that individual and from the video. It's all very predictable. if you click on, say, a Ben Shapiro video, right, what do you expect to hear? Well, first of all, you expect to hear the source,
Ben Shapiro, you know, GDP's up 7.7% in Kansas, so what are you complaining? Kansas is great, everything's doing great.
And something like,
Israel's an amazing place, democracy, democracy, innovation, Israel's amazing.
Right? Yes, you click on Ben Shapiro and you come to expect that. If you click on, say, Rollo Tomasi, you know exactly what he's going to talk about. He's going to refer to himself and his great genius about how he's pierced the veil of male-female gender relations and how he saw it all before and he's smarter than all the evolutionary psychologists and why you should listen to him, blah, blah, blah. And if you click on your favorite YouTube channel that covers, I don't know, film reviews, and you've seen it once or twice, you know exactly what the person has to say. So everything is formulaic, everything is predictable, and that's in part because algorithms are both informing us and conforming us, so to speak, forcing us to conform to certain patterns, because content creators, for example, don't want to deviate from patterns that ruin their YouTube output, the amount of views they get, the amount of interaction and engagement they get, and consumers of such things don't want deviation. After all, they're there for a specific reason. Now, back in the day, this sort of thing existed too. You might have had your favorite radio station. You tuned in every morning going to work or what have you. All the time, at 8 o'clock on the dot, every morning, during the weekdays, blah, 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 that sort of thing. Now it's everything, right? It's all predictable. It's all familiar. And it's not just that. It's also knowledge itself. The understanding of the human condition, for example, can lead you to becoming quite anhedonic, because for a lot of people, let's take, again, classic gender relations, love is this big mysterious thing. It's magical. There's poetry and flowers, and there's the heebie-jeebie feelings in your gut and blah, blah, blah. But if you exist outside of that paradigm, and you understand, say, the neurochemical basis and the evolutionary basis and why that's all happening, you kind of become hardened to it. And it's a very sobering experience. And so for normies, for example, it's this magical thing. And for you, it's more akin to, well, this is the reason this is happening. It serves X purpose and Y mechanism is going to lead to Z outcome and blah, 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 right? So even understanding, especially understanding of certain things like the human condition, can make the human condition a lot less interesting in a certain sense. Which is not to say that these mechanisms or these phenomena are not interesting. Rather, they become familiar and very predictable. We can predict what men are going to do in terms of their reproductive behavior, just as we can predict what women are going to do, i.e. it's all fairly boring at the end of the day, at least in terms of the broadest trends, right? And that itself is due to all the information online, information that we didn't have access to 30 or 40 years ago. It is oversaturation to the highest degree. And it begs the question, how do you escape it? Well, a lot of people talk about dopamine detox, and that's great. Maybe you can go out to the woods for a week or two and detox from everything. But even if that were to work, and I'm skeptical about the degree to which that could work, you will inevitably, if you're part of modern civilization, re-immerse yourself in the quagmire, in the swamp of constantly being exposed to overstimulation and oversaturation of topics, the formulaism that has come to dominate our landscape. And the problem is, if you combine that aspect with the already present aspect of getting older and accumulating experiences, well, that is a surefire recipe to a complete anhedonic burnout at a very young age. And I have talked to a lot of young guys in their early 20s that sound like they're my age, or even older in some cases, because of precisely this phenomenon. So we're going to be seeing a lot more of anhedonia in the coming years, in young people, in older people, across the board, because of the nature of our environment. And I think to varying degrees, it can be part of depression, but I also think it's quite separate in many ways. And we don't have a solution for it. If you want to exist in the modern world, you're kind of stuck with that. And of course, as with everything when it comes to human beings, individuals vary in their degree of susceptibility to this phenomenon, obviously largely due to genetic differences between individuals. So some people will be able to resist anhedonia much more than others, and others will, at the further say left end of the bell curve will suffer from it immensely with everything in between. But if you take your average person, at the end of the day, anhedonia is a real threat, and we are currently in the midst of an epidemic, I think, that's only going to grow and grow and grow in the coming years, and very few people are talking about it. So yeah, the hedonic treadmill is bad enough, but at least if you're capable of getting on the hedonic treadmill and then getting on it again and again and again, it means that you have not burnt yourself out. You're still chasing the dopamine hit. Hey, with anhedonia, you want to chase the dopamine hit, but the hit just isn't giving you what you need, and therefore, it's worth talking about. Anyway, as always, thank you for tuning in. Many special thanks to my very generous patrons on Patreon and my donors on PayPal. You guys are the best. Without you, the channel could not exist. And if you like my videos, hit the bell icon to be informed of my videos in the future so you know and get notices. And you can do the usual YouTube jazz of liking the video, sharing the video, leaving a comment. Hey, if you're not yet a sub, do subscribe to the channel. And if I'm still alive, I'll check you out next time. Until then, may the gods truly watch over you. Bye-bye for now. If you liked this video, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you enjoy my content, please consider making a donation or becoming a patron. Thanks for watching.